Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, June 11th, 2015, and it's a beautiful day and here in Clearwater, Florida. We're having lots of thunderstorms, which is what happens here in the summertime. Right on schedule, we have thunderstorms. They're beautiful. They cool us down. I love thunderstorms. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about cell phones again, and I want to keep talking about the dangers of cell phones and other wireless devices because I look around and so many people don't know what's going on. And we really need to be talking about it. I hope that all of you will take what we're going to say today to heart and tell other people about it. And it just, you know, I ask people for landline phone numbers a lot, and people often say to me, I don't have a landline phone number. And yet, on the other hand, I have friends that if I call them on their cell number, they say, hold on just a minute, can I call you right back from my landline? And it's so refreshing to hear that. And so today we're going to be talking with Ellen Marks. She's been on the show before. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, which focuses on the prevention and on the of wireless radiation. Let me just tell you that again. Which focuses on prevention and on the wireless radiation issue being a possible cause of deadly brain tumors. And we're going to be talking today about the new Right to Know ordinance in Berkeley, California, and other things related to cell phones. Hi, Ellen. Hello, hello.
Appreciate it.
Hi, there you are.
Yeah.
I think you were talking, but I wasn't hearing you.
Oh,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Now we're on.
Okay, I was thanking you for having me on. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's start with, where would you like to start?
Well, it's been an interesting couple of months in the cell phone arena. And we did, I don't know, your listeners might know that several years ago, San Francisco was the first city in the nation to pass what we call the cell phone right to know legislation, which basically gives people information at the point of sale about how to use their cell phone as safely as possible. And what this did was it took language that's already there, that's required by the FCC, and instead of hiding it in the phone or hiding it in a manual that nobody reads, they would give this information to the consumer at the point of sale so that they can make an informed decision as to how to best use their phone for themselves and their children. But I think many of your listeners and you understand that after that passed unanimously in San Francisco, the industry, cell phone industry, CTIA, Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association, came in and sued. Mm-hmm. And their claim in San Francisco was that it violated their First Amendment rights, that it was compelling speech that they didn't want to give out. And they didn't win. That was the interesting part. It went to district court, and the city did really well. And then it went to federal court, and it was an unpublished decision by the federal judges that it did violate the First Amendment, that it was controversial and not factual. So it was going to go back to district court in about 6 months. You know, this was back in 2013, I believe. And instead, the new mayor in San Francisco is very tech-friendly, and he convinced everybody to repeal the law. So that was very upsetting. And people, you know, the industry was running around saying they won the lawsuit, which they really didn't. So what we did since then was, we were fortunate enough to have Harvard constitutional law professor Lawrence Lessig interested in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just fabulous. I can't thank him enough. And he has offered his services and a team pro bono to any city or state that will take this on again.
Wow.
So what we did was we worked with him, and he brought in Yale's dean of the law school, Robert Post. Mm-hmm. And we crafted language that he feels will stand up in court. There were some things wrong with San Francisco's. It did go a little bit too far, like telling people to turn their phones off when not in use, and the children probably shouldn't be using cell phones. So it did go a little bit too far. So with the help of Lawrence Lessig and Robert Post, we crafted language that we hope will stand up in court. And Berkeley did pass this a couple of weeks ago, unanimously.
Yay, Berkeley.
Yes, we were thrilled. And I have to say, Max Anderson, the city councilman who I've been working on this with for years, they had put it on the back burner when San Francisco was sued, is just fabulous. And he was in tears after. He was so happy. And, you know, they're doing this because they really care about people and about their health and about the children in their community. But unfortunately, well, or maybe fortunately, we expected it, the CTIA filed their lawsuit the other day against the city of Berkeley. And even though the language is pretty much what they're telling you in their own manuals, they are suing. And I thought it was funny. There's been a lot of media about this, which is good, because the media about Berkeley's law and then about the lawsuit raises awareness for the public, which is what we are trying to do. So one of the quotes by Max Anderson, the city councilman, one of the articles the other day was, it's their own language. Maybe they should be suing themselves.
I like that. I was just sitting here thinking, how could they sue you over simply taking language that they've hidden in their little pamphlet and just putting it out there where people can see it?
It's mind-boggling. It really is, and it makes you really wonder. I remember Senator Mark Leno when we tried doing this at the California state level, but that unfortunately lost out to campaign contributions to the Democrats. Mark Leno stated, after getting to know this industry, he's more fearful of what they're hiding from us. So that's how we feel about this. So I mean to make it really clear, the language isn't exactly verbatim. Like, if every phone's a little bit different. In an iPhone, you have to go through 5 or 6 steps on your phone to get to the language where it tells you not to hold it to your body. So, and then in the BlackBerry, it tells you a little bit something different. It says, I think, to keep it 0.98 inches away from your body, including the lower abdomen of a teenager and the abdomen of a pregnant woman. I mean, that's a little frightening. So everyone's a little bit different. So what we did, and I'll read it to you. The notice that would be given on a piece of paper to the consumer at the point of sale would say, to assure safety, the federal government requires that cell phones meet radio frequency RF exposure guidelines. If you carry or use your phone in a pants or shirt pocket, or tucked into a bra when the phone is on and connected to a wireless network, you may exceed the federal guidelines for exposure to RF radiation. This potential risk is greater for children. Refer to the instructions in your phone or user manual for information about how to use your phone safely.
That's it?
That's it. And they're suing.
They're objecting to that?
They're objecting to that. And basically, every manual has to tell you that the phone must be kept away from the body, because that is how they are tested. And people do not know that, and that's why my colleagues and I do what we do. The Government Accountability Office did an in-depth report on this in 2012, and they said that the exposure and testing requirements for mobile phones should be reassessed. And, I mean, I've got it right here. It says, some consumers may use mobile phones against the body, which FCC does not currently test, and could result in RF energy exposure higher than the FCC limit. So, I'm sure your listeners, many of them probably keep it in their pants pocket or in their shirt pocket. A lot of women are keeping it in their bra because it's convenient. And we have a study that came out on that, actually a case series that came out on that, by several breast surgeons who are seeing this, and there's some women who, young women, who kept it in their bra, and their tumors developed exactly in the shape of their cell phone, same exact size.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know, the antennas, it's just incredible. So basically, that's it. That's what Berkeley was going to be telling people at the point of sale. The industry suing, and even funnier than that, or not funny really, but they hired Ted Olson. Are you familiar with Ted Olson?
No, I'm not, but we need to go to break.
Okay.
And we can talk about Ted Olson and other things when we come back.
Thank you.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and guest today is Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and we're talking about the association between cell phone use and brain tumors. And Ellen, we're going to pick up where we left off before the break, but I want to just tell you that about a month ago, I was having lunch with two of my friends, a man and a woman. They're very intelligent. They're very well informed. And both of them suddenly started talking about cell phones. I think one of them had a cell phone sitting on the table. And it turned out that both of them, and I didn't ask them this question, both of them said by themselves, they said that they had had a negative experience with putting their cell phones in their pockets, and that they don't do that anymore. They actually had a reaction in their body that caused them to no longer carry their cell phones in their pockets. Two people out of just the small number of people that I know, two of them had a response. I don't carry my cell phone in my pocket at all, ever. I carry it in my purse, but if I don't think that I'm going to need it, I'm one of those people that don't feel like I need to be reachable all the time. And so I carry my cell phone when I think that I'm going to need it for an outgoing call, or if I know somebody's going to need to reach me and I've given them my number, or if I'm traveling and it's the only way to reach me, or something like that. But most of the time, my cell phone just sits on a table.
You know, it's interesting. I have this conversation with people often about the need for, you know, the cell phone use and as much use as people are using it. And, you know, what your friends experience, a lot of people tell me that. They tell me when they hold it to their face or to their head that they feel the heat. One woman told me the other day she had a burn on her face. I was actually shocked by that. But you're right. And people are, they're experiencing different physical ailments, not just, I mean, brain tumors obviously are pretty awful. And there's salivary gland tumors and breast cancer and damage to fetuses and all this stuff that we're hearing now. There's lots of good science about this. But another thing is called electrohypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are around cell phones or around wireless radiation of any kind, like Wi-Fi cell towers and that, they're becoming ill from it. And it's a real thing. I think in Sweden they've made it a disability. But and we need people in the United States to take action about this. We need our legislators to realize that this is a real problem.
I totally agree. You know, do you remember, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a child, all we had was a telephone. We didn't have answering machines. We didn't have answering services. I mean, if you weren't actually there sitting next to the telephone or in the house, then somebody could not reach you.
Well, you're absolutely right. I just had that conversation with my 28-year-old daughter the other day. I said, it's so amazing. And I'm even guilty. I mean, I know the ramifications of cell phone use. I'm talking to you now on a wired landline, not cordless. Mm-hmm. By the way, your audience should know that cordless phones are probably just as dangerous as cell phones. And, you know, my daughter says, why do you guys still have one of those? You know, does anybody really call you on that? I said, I use it all the time. Because her generation, they don't have them. They don't have landlines. And I even have a sister who's older than I am. She's 70. And they've given up their landline. And I was appalled when I heard that. We rely on our cell phones too much. There are negative there's so many negative health effects from them. And I think historians are going to have a field day with this 20 or 30 years from now. It's just terrible what we're doing to ourselves. But many people have become addicted to this. And why is it that when you go into a restaurant, everybody's got them on the table? Why can't we detach from it? Why can't we unplug for a little while? And why can't we be by ourselves and think instead of looking at the phone all the time?
That's a very interesting question. And I don't know the answer to it. But I think that we are social people and we want to connect. But the balance to that, from my viewpoint, is that you also need to be alone. You need to spend time doing whatever it is you need to do for yourself, to think your own thoughts, and then be able to be yourself and go and connect with other people. And when you're constantly at the effect of answering the phone, of receiving communication from anybody who wants to talk to you at any time, mm-hmm. then you're not being causative over your own life. You're just...
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and it's a problem socially, but it's also a problem health-wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just going to take more science and more illnesses and all that for people to realize the health effects are real.
Unfortunately.
And then as far as the social ramifications, I'm hearing more and more about that. I'm hearing about marriages that are suffering because people are addicted to their laptop, you know, to their emails or to their phones. And I think it's affecting a lot of people. I mean, I even see it with my own kids sometimes where they're not really there. They're texting underneath the table. So,
but, you know, on the flip side of that, I know mm-hmm. that I've heard, like, husbands or wives say, I have to take this call because it's my wife or my husband. Mm-hmm. And that there is a convenience to be able to always reach the other responsible person. Like, if a child is in accident or something, mm-hmm. you want to be able to reach your husband. And
you're right. I mean, there is, cell phones definitely make our lives a bit easier. They do.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
no denying that this is a great, that this is a good technology. However, we have to know when to stop.
Yes.
And, you know, I go in and I speak to a lot of high school students and college students. We've been showing our movie Mobilize, and our documentary on this issue. And we do, you know, we talk to the kids. And one of the first things I always ask is, how many of you feel that you're addicted to your cell phone? And every hand goes up in the room.
Really? They feel that way?
Yes. And it's just, it's surprising to me that they feel that way and that they admit it. And so
wow.
I don't think they're liking it either.
Well, you know, immediately what I thought of is when you're in a store, you know, and the phone rings and the clerk picks up the phone and talks to the person on the phone instead of talking to you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know how that is.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
it's like the person who's in front of you should be the person that you're interacting with. And that you should just be able to give your time and attention to that person and have the telephone be secondary, I think.
Right,
is my
exactly.
opinion.
It's a whole social problem.
Yeah.
It really is, yeah. It's a whole different issue.
We need to go to break again, and when we come back, we'll talk about Ted Olson.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, who educates and activates about cell phone use. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Ellen Marks. She's the founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. Okay, Ellen, tell us about Ted Olson.
Well, it was interesting. Lawrence Lessig, who I told you was helping us with this case, he helped draft the language that Berkeley passed, and Robert Post, we knew that a lawsuit would probably be coming because this industry does not have liability insurance. They can't let the cat out of the bag. So anyhow, it came the other day, and the first lawyer on there that is defending them is Theodore B. Olson. And he was picked by Time Magazine, I think it was in 2010, as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Wow.
He's been before the Supreme Court 60-some times. He was the one who supported legalized gay marriage before the Supreme Court, and also in Florida. He was the one that was responsible for George Bush to be president for 8 years. He was involved in the Bush-Gore election issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this man is quite...
That.
Yeah. He's quite well-known. He's one of the top lawyers probably in the world, and I think we scared the heck out of the CTIA that they went and hired him, which is good because Lawrence Lessig and Robert Post have a team put together and they're ready to fight him all the way to the Supreme Court on this. He did lose. I was talking to Dr. Stanton Glantz about this, who has worked on tobacco issues for years, and Ted Olson did defend Philip Morris against the University of California concerning Stan Glantz's work on tobacco research, and he did lose that case. So he doesn't win them all, and we're hoping that he doesn't win this one. So we do have many cities and states who are on board to do what Berkeley has done. However, now they're going to put it, you know, away for a while and see what happens here. But we do want them to write amicus briefs to support the city of Berkeley. And it's really nice to see the tide is changing a bit. Legislators are starting to see that this really is an issue, that this industry is despicable, that this industry is hiding this information that people need to know. And more people are becoming ill and dying. We've lost two of our wonderful advocates. Jimmy Gonzalez was an attorney in Florida, 40 years old, and he died from a brain tumor probably about 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. And Brett Bocook was an attorney in Palo Alto who recently passed away at the age of 50, left three small children behind, who died from a brain tumor attributed also to his cell phone. So they're just two of many. And, you know, there's concerns about Bo Biden also. We don't know for sure, but a GBM at the age of 46 is rare, and radiation is the one known thing to cause brain tumors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just wish that some public figures who have been affected by this would go public about it.
Yeah.
It's a very, very serious matter.
One of the things that concerns me just about the world at large is that it seems to be allowable for new things to come onto the market without knowing what their health effects are. Mm-hmm. And I think that there probably are some laws in place for some products needing to be tested or following regulations. But it seems like that instead of saying, okay, prove that it's safe first, then these new technologies are allowed, and then people get sick, and then we have to fight to have them taken away.
You're right. Corporations run this, our country, unfortunately. And in the case of the cell phone, you're absolutely right. There was never any pre-market safety testing done on a cell phone. I think when they came out in the mid-'80s, nobody had any idea. I'll give them a little bit of slack here. How ubiquitous this would become, and that even children would have them and be sleeping with them and all that. So there was no pre-market safety testing. What they did was, because they had tested microwave ovens to be safe, they just used that. And, you know, it's a bit different. You're holding this microwave oven to your head, and children are using them. So it's shocking to me also that they can get away with this, and that we have to prove that they're not safe. And
In the world of chemicals, there's something called the precautionary principle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you all talk about that in
the
cell
phones.
Oh, we do. Yeah, and I think that there's enough evidence. I've been doing this work for more than 30 years, and many years ago, before anybody started talking about any of this, I had to say, well, what do I want as an individual? How do I evaluate what's going to be safe for me? And because I got sick, I said, wait a minute, I can't do things to my body that, if I want to live and be happy and earn money and have fun, I need to do things that support my health and not things that are going to make me lie in bed sick every day.
Right, right.
And so I had to figure out, like, draw the line, where was my tolerable line of what I was willing to accept. And what I decided for myself was that if there was any concern about the chemical at all, it didn't have to be, you know, really proven without a doubt. If there was any concern, this was way before the precautionary principle was written, but it was, if there was any concern, I wasn't going to use it. I was going to find another way. And the thing that seems so horrific to me about this whole cellular technology, not just cell phones, but the whole thing is, there's no place I can go where I'm not being bombarded by this technology.
You're
in my
absolutely
own house,
right.
I can't shut it out. If I turn on my computer, it asks me, do I want to hook up to this Wi-Fi, my neighbor's Wi-Fi? Because I don't have Wi-Fi. There's no place to go.
Yeah.
The whole planet is surrounded by these waves.
It's really a terrible problem. Children are being exposed to Wi-Fi at school, then they go home and they're being exposed to it. And no one is measuring the cumulative effect.
Mm-hmm.
You might have an exposure limit for a phone, an exposure limit for a router, exposure limit for a cell tower. But when you put it all together...
That's right. That's exactly the point.
It's
the same
exactly.
thing with
so you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for people who especially are sensitive to it. And, you know, it's terrible. There's people that are having to leave their homes because of the new smart meters that are being put on their homes and things like that. So it really is an awful problem. Like I said, I think historians are going to have, you know, quite a time with this. I think we've advanced too far, too fast, and we have not used the precautionary principle. And what really infuriates me is that there is so much science now.
Yeah, there
is. Established, peer-reviewed, published science about cell phones, about Wi-Fi, about damage to fetuses from wireless radiation, and it's being ignored. And the industry is going on, and they've got this mantra that there is no established science. Well, at this point, they're lying, and I don't mind saying that because they are. There is established science. We have the data to show the correlation between wireless radiation and damage to fetuses, damage to sperm, and cancers all over the body. So, yes, the precautionary principle should be taken, but they're more concerned about their bottom dollar.
Yes, and we should live in a world where the precautionary principle is provided at every level, and it's not.
I agree with you.
We can choose it, but it's not being applied, and I think that that is a big mistake.
You're right.
We need to go to break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this.
Okay,
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Ellen Marks. She's founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Ellen Marks, founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. Okay, Ellen, what else would you like to tell us about brain tumors?
Well, I think that your listeners probably would like to know what they can do to protect themselves.
Good.
Because
Let's
the technology is not going to go away in the near future.
It's not.
Want it to go away. We just want this industry to make safer equipment and fess up to what's really happening. One thing I try to stress to people is, you know, I love my phone and all that, but I try to limit my use. And I think that's something that we all need to do. You know, if we all start limiting our use, maybe we won't need as many cell towers and all that. But another thing is just to keep it off when it's on your body. You can even put it on airplane mode if you have it tucked into a pocket or in your bra. Just have it in airplane mode, which stops the wireless radiation from being transmitted. And don't sleep with them near your head at night. A lot of teenagers, Pew Research did a study, 87% of teenagers sleep with them on underneath their pillows at night.
Wow.
This is very, very dangerous.
They want to be awakened in the middle of the night by having
someone call? They're texting till all hours of the night, and then they use it for their alarm clock also. So this is a problem. I tell people if they have any control over their teenagers, get their phone out of their room at night. And, use the speakerphone, text more often, which is good. I think more and more people are texting a lot. Just don't hold it to your head or body. And as far as Wi-Fi goes, Ethernet is faster. We have gone back to Ethernet. And, you know, the other thing I'd like to stress is this is very, very real. The science is coming out of Yale, Harvard. It's overwhelming. It's coming from other countries also. There are very negative ramifications to wireless radiation. And it's very real, and when you hear otherwise, it's the industry speaking that you're hearing. So it's, you know, if we're scaring people, I apologize. However, it's something that people really need to know because everybody's using this daily. And like you said, it's hard to get away from it.
It is hard to get away from it. I know that, tablet computers are also, it's any wireless device.
Right. iPads, I think in the manual it tells you to keep it at least 8 inches from your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people fall asleep with those things. I have friends and family members who do that. And it's very dangerous. I know a woman who did that, and she did develop a brain tumor, and she has passed away. And she was in her 40s. So it's very frightening. So people need to be aware
now these new watches that people have, they're putting it like right on their wrist and wearing it all day long. And
the wireless devices, the wearable wireless devices are just horrendous. this, I mean, the Google glasses, I think they've taken them off the market now for other reasons, but what a horrible idea to keep microwave transmitter right by your brain like that all the time. And the watch, too. It's definitely not something that we think people should be wearing.
And e-book readers.
You know, I really don't know too much about that, but I would assume, I really don't know.
I don't know either, that's why I'm asking you.
Actually, I don't, so I'm not going to say, because I really don't know. I think if it's not transmitting radiation, you're okay. So I'm not sure if those do.
That's something I want to find out about, actually.
Yeah, I think if it's just downloaded, I don't think that it is transmitting.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that I asked that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, so many people read e-books now. I know.
The Kindles and things like that are okay.
I don't have a reader, but I have an iPad. Mm-hmm. And so if I am going to read an ebook, I read it on my iPad or I read it on my computer. Mostly
right.
I read it on my computer.
Now, if you were to disable wireless on your iPad when you were reading it, would you still be able to read the book?
I have wireless disabled on my iPad anyway.
Oh, okay.
In an iPad, it comes in like a... It's not a wireless, it's like a cell phone.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that you're okay. I really don't know the answer to that.
Well, I'll have to do more research.
Yeah, please do, and let me know. The other thing I'd like to say is we did make a movie, Dr. Joel Moskowitz of UC Berkeley's School of Public Health, and I, and Dr. Deborah Davis, who's a worldwide leading expert in this issue, we did make a documentary called Mobilize, which has been showing around the nation, actually around the world. It was shown in New Zealand last week.
Wow.
And if people would like a link to it to show it in their community, they can email me. Can I give my email out?
Yeah, you can. And actually, during the break, there's a website, mobilizemovie.com.
Oh, good.
You can go to the mobilizemovie.com. You can order a copy there. I think it has different levels of rights, so you can order one if you want to show it. It costs one price, and if you want to have a DVD so you can just watch it yourself, it's like $15, I think, on the site.
Yes, and it's well worth it. People are really enjoying it, and they're really telling us that they're changing their habits after seeing it.
How long is the movie? How many minutes?
The movie is about an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, so it's like a movie.
Oh, yeah, and we did win an award for it. We won the Slate Award for the Best Documentary, and we were up against a Hollywood producer for their documentary at the California Independent Film Festival. So we're excited about that. And it's basically about the science, about the collusion between our government and this industry and the industry corruption. And it's what people need to know to keep themselves and their families safe. So I hope that more and more people will view it.
I hope so, too. I will put that link on the website with the link to
that
this
show. That would be
great.
Thank you. And my email is CA for California, BTA for Brain Tumor Association, SF, San Francisco at hotmail.com. So CABTASF at hotmail.com.
Okay, good. So we only have a few minutes left. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, well, we were talking about cell towers before. And one of the things that's happening right now in California, it's the first state to do this, and it's horrific, is one of the assemblymen got a bill passed before the assembly, and now it's going on to the Senate, to take away local authority on cellular facility placement. And it would be done at the state level. And it's horrific because it takes all authority away from cities, and it basically denies them their rights to, you know, concerns about aesthetics, concerns about environmental issues, about safety. So if any of your listeners are from California or they're concerned that this could happen in their state, we encourage people to contact California state senators to vote no on AB 57. It's a terrible law, and it's just a power grab by the telecom industry to get things done quicker and to have more antennas. For instance, in San Francisco, they want to put them on every utility pole, on sidewalks, and things like that. It's just a terrible idea, not only for aesthetics, but we know for health reasons, which we're not allowed to talk about because of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. But we're really concerned about this AB 57 getting through the Senate.
Well, lots going on in the world. You know, we need to be vigilant. It seems to me that you know, there's some basic goodness in the world that people like want to do the right thing, that they want to be healthy, and then there's all these other things going on, and that we have to fight for it. That it's not, even though it seems to me it's like our natural state to be healthy, if we're not being bombarded by all these things, we have to fight to have our natural environment. We need to fight to have pure products, even the food we eat or the water that we drink. That, you know, it's like one thing I've said many times in the past on this show is that I think that we should be able to buy applesauce, for example, and the label would say apples and water, and we would know that that was apples and water and nothing else. And that the ones that are not that should say apples, pesticides, chlorine, you know?
Right, right.
All the things that are actually in it.
Yes, unfortunately, like we said before, corporations have the upper hand in our country right now. And that's one reason that Larry Lessig took on this issue with the cell phones is he would like to see, corporations out of politics. You know, they shouldn't be making campaign contributions and all that. So it's a huge problem. You're absolutely right. And the American people are suffering because of it.
I think so, too. I've done a fair amount of study about our founding fathers and the American Revolution and what they were fighting for. And freedom is like a basic thing. You know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The first one is life. We have this country was founded on that we have the right to life, and our very lives are being threatened. And we should all be standing up for this. We should all be standing up and saying, let's
absolutely
have life.
Yes. It's so sad to me because I've gotten to know these people who have been affected by cell phone radiation. There's young women that I know who have breast cancer that's spreading throughout their body now because they didn't know they shouldn't keep their cell phone tucked into their bra while it was on. And like I said before, I know men and women who have died from this, and it doesn't get much worse than that. And it's so sad. And this is so real.
I know that when I found out about toxic chemicals, because I got sick, when I found out about it, I made a decision that I had to spend my life telling people about it, because I can't like heal the damage that chemicals have caused to my body.
Right.
And I didn't know about it. And so I was dedicated to making sure people know. We need to go. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for the work that you continue to do and for raising awareness. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.